Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Thank you for joining us for our Sunday evening sermon. We've been going through a series over the last few weeks we're calling The Outdoor Classroom, and we've been trying to look at the lessons that we can learn from different animals that are in Scripture. And so last week we focused on the lion, the week before that, the donkey, the week before that, an eagle. And today we're going to have a little different part of God's creation to focus on. But before we do that, I want to catch us up on some of the creations that we've seen submitted over the last week. We've been encouraging both our children and adults, anyone who has a painting, a drawing, a Play-Doh creation, a Minecraft creation, a picture, video, anything of that animal, to just share it on Facebook. And so here are some of the ones that we had turned in over the week. This one is a late addition that is focused on the donkey we talked about 2 weeks ago. These were made on Minecraft by Luke and Micah, and you can see their names, Mo and Bo, the donkeys there. Here are some lions that were created this week. David Landman got in on the Minecraft action by creating this lion. You can see that. And to keep the Minecraft theme, here is Ben Nielsen's lion's den that he created, which looks like that could be a scary place to be. And you can see the creation there. Also, Noah Williams made this drawing of a lion. And I love the face of the lion. It looks very friendly. I like that, a friendly lion. And then Caroline Williams put some extra work into the mane of this lion and came up with a really neat creation there. I love the fact that we're getting to see our children involved, and I hope that that's something that you can do if you haven't done it already. They can submit either to me or on Facebook a creation or drawing of one of the animals we've already done or what we're going to be looking at this week. A few years ago, the Virginia Museum of Natural History received an exhibit that was donated by the Smithsonian, and it focused on the hidden lives of ants. Dr. Mark Moffitt, who's known as an ant expert and also a photographer, used a macro lens photography approach to show close-up photos of ants and actually chronicled a leafcutter ant colony and gave insight into how ants communicate with each other, how they work with each other, and tracked what they were doing. Now, it's a world we don't often think about as we walk around, but it's taking place all around us. In fact, there are ants on almost every continent. They've been discovered. I think with the exception of Antarctica, you can find ants just about everywhere. And usually when I see ants, I don't stop and ask myself the question, I wonder what I can learn from them. Usually I'm thinking, how did they get in here if they're in my house? Was there food that I left out? Or, you know, how did they get inside? What can I do to get rid of them? Maybe you can remember growing up where you had a little more disposable time on your hands and being out on the playground at school or going out in your backyard and watching some of the ants and other bugs wander around and think, what are they doing? I wonder, you know, what goal do they have? It looks to us like they're just walking around aimlessly. But actually, it's impressive to see how ants work together. The way in which there's this teamwork effect, and maybe you've seen a line of ants before, a trail that are going to a certain place. As Haddon Robinson once said, ants come to picnics, but they don't have any fun. Because when an ant's at a picnic, it's not relaxing, it's working. Right? It's trying to take some of the food that you have and take it back to its home and to the other ants. In fact, here are some things I've learned just this week as I've been thinking about this and doing a little looking online, that ants in an ant colony will have thousands of individual ants. And there have been some super colonies discovered that have tens of millions of ants in the same place. And these ants have specific jobs. There are specific roles that different ants have to play. They can lift 10 to 50 times their body weight. And so as one researcher said, if a human could lift 10 times their weight, then a 200-pound man could lift a small car above his head. So the next time you see an ant wandering around with something that looks bigger than it is, It's because of that incredible strength. Now, we don't often like to have ants around, but it's interesting to me that in Scripture, more than once, ants are singled out as an example for us to learn from. And so if you would turn with me to the book of Proverbs, we're going to read a couple of passages in Proverbs that show us there are some spiritual lessons we can learn from ants. Now, these are going to be some very basic principles, but I think they'll also be powerful reminders for us. So if you have your Bible with you or a device, or if you just want to watch the screen, here's what we see picking up in verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard, and when will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. Now let's just stop right there and take a step back and remember where we're reading. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament is a collection of inspired statements of wisdom, but they're general principles. And so there are principles of truth that generally work. There are times, for example, when you've known someone who has trained up a child in the way it should go. And Proverbs tells us that when you train up a child in the way he should go or she should go, they will not depart from it. But we know people who have trained up children, and all of a sudden those children are living very different lives than they had trained them up to live. So it's a general truth. Is it generally true? Yes. Is it true more often than it is for children that aren't trained up in the right way? The children who are will make the right choices? Sure. But it's a principle. And that's what we're seeing here. And there's an emphasis in Proverbs on wisdom. Wisdom is something that's really valued. And you see some characters mentioned throughout Proverbs, almost like some archetypes of individuals and of qualities in someone's life. And we're introduced to one of those in Proverbs chapter 6, the sluggard. I titled this lesson, Consider the Ant, and I didn't do the rest of that verse, Consider the Ant Sluggard. Just doesn't sound like an appealing title if you're wanting to put something in the bulletin for people to tune in. But there's a specific contrast that's created here, which gives us our first lesson that we can see from the life of an ant, and that is the importance of hard work. That those who serve God, those who seek wisdom, are called to work hard. And so that's something that shows up in several Proverbs and would have been incredibly important in an agricultural economy. Remember, in the ancient world, they had to expend a lot more effort than we would to prepare meals, to get food for meals. Many of them were closely related to living off the land, whether it was being a farmer or taking care of herds that fed off the land. It was very important. Those of you that grew up on farms or that still work on farms, you know that there is continual work. There's always something that needs to be done. There's always something you're anticipating. It's a continual kind of work. I've learned that from spending time around farmers over the years. I can remember when we lived in Kentucky, we started a men's Bible class Friday mornings. It was a breakfast Bible study that started at 6. And so I was making the announcement, 6 a.m., we'd meet in the fellowship hall and have donuts and coffee and study a lesson together. And one of my friends, who was a dairy farmer, came up to me. Several had already come up and joked around saying, I don't know if I can get up that early, but I guess I'll be there by 6. And then my friend, who is a dairy farmer, came up and said, well, I'd like to be there by 6, but I don't think I can make it. And instead of being too early for him, he said, I'm just hitting my stride at 6 a.m. That's when I can get a lot of my work done. Well, because he was up and out at 4, taking care of what he needed to take care of for that day, especially before it got too hot later in the day. He needed to get some things done. It was continual work. And so you understand, if you've been around that line of work, it's continual. It's all the time. And so you can imagine, as we're dealing with issues surrounding harvest and farmers and agriculture and Proverbs, it would be important to say you cannot be lazy, that you need to work hard. Now, these kinds of ants would have been common in Palestine. known as harvester ants, and they're the opposite of the sluggard, a character that shows up more than once in Proverbs. Did you notice in verse 9, how long will you lie down, O sluggard? With a little sleep and a little slumber, all of a sudden poverty comes upon you quickly. Now, the prophets in the Old Testament were very clear that there were times people were in poverty because rich people were taking advantage of the poor, and that they were cheating others out of money. And so there are clearly some abuses that we see among Old Testament prophets of those in power who were taking money from those who didn't have, were cheating them out of money. But there's also another thread in Scripture that reminds us that sometimes poverty can come if you're not working, if you're not doing what you need to do. And so there's the contrast. Consider the ant. Look at the way that the ant works. The sluggard, on the other hand, not only doesn't do things, but sometimes doesn't start or even finish things. Later in Proverbs 19, verse 24, a sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Here's a description of someone who is so lazy that he can't even do the simple action of putting his hand back up to his mouth so he can eat. That's how lazy this person is being described as. The sluggard doesn't want to face things. In Proverbs 22, we read about an excuse that the sluggard might use. I won't go outside. There might be a lion out there. Have you ever known someone like that? Have you ever been someone like that? Someone who maybe just can't seem to be motivated to get out of bed? Now, there are times when that's out of our control. There are times we can be physically sick and we cannot get out of bed. I can remember being in college and getting so sick one time that when I woke up in the morning, I was dehydrated. I didn't realize it. Even just trying to push out of the bed, my arms were shaking. I just couldn't even get out of bed. And sometimes that can happen. Sometimes depression can put us in a place where we're not able to get out of bed. And we understand that. But there are also times when we choose not to, simply because we'd prefer to sleep. We'd prefer to be lazy. That's what's being described here. And if we have been involved with someone like that, maybe working on a work project where someone has responsibilities and she's not meeting her end of the bargain and he's not living up to what he said he'd do, and this person just seems to be looking for opportunities to get out of doing any work, just trying to find the easiest way through, it's not very fun for us to spend time with people who are seeking to be lazy. And there have been times when maybe you can look at your own life and say, you know, I've had that attitude before. And I'm not fond of myself when I have that attitude. Maybe someone, as this sluggard in Proverbs would do, who starts things but doesn't finish them. I think all of us have fallen into that trap. I really thought when the quarantine started that I'd be able to accomplish everything on my to-do list at home. And we've accomplished several things, but now we have other things on our to-do list to do. And so we are familiar with that. But I think specifically of individuals like Samuel Taylor Coleridge. William Barclay describes Coleridge as an example of a lack of discipline. He left Cambridge University to join the army. Then he left the army, returned back to Oxford. Then he left Oxford without a degree. He began a paper called The Watchman, which made it through 10 editions before he quit that. He had in his head all kinds of books that were, as he said, completed save for transcription. In other words, they were completed in his mind, he just hadn't written any of them down. As one person said, he lost himself in visions of work to be done that always remained to be done. Coleridge had every poetic gift but one, the gift of sustained and concentrated effort. I think that's what the Proverbs writer is describing here, sustained and concentrated effort. I can remember looking at a piece of paper once where an individual in ministry had written a list of publications he had, and the only publications on that list were all described incomplete and unpublished. He had 3 books, but they were all incomplete and unpublished. In other words, there were ideas for books, there was work along the way, but it hadn't really been done yet. And maybe we let some of those things pile up. Or maybe we feel like the sluggard who doesn't want to face things. One of the tragic things about adulthood is that we have to do things we don't want to do. We have to make phone calls we don't want to make. We have to pay bills we don't want to pay. And sometimes it's easier just not to face things. And so a sluggard would say, well, who knows what could be out in the street? I don't know if I want to face that. But if I'm truly going to be a hard worker, I'm going to have to face things that I don't want to do. I think that's one of the things that Scripture does for us. It forces us to confront issues we don't want to confront. And so Proverbs 6 tells us, consider the ant. Be a hard worker. Don't be someone who is just looking for ways to sleep through the time that needs to have work. Don't be someone who's just looking for a way out, a way not to have any obligations. I don't want to be responsible for this. I don't want to take part in this. I just want to make life as easy as it could possibly be for me. If I'm a follower of God, that's not the way He's calling me to live and me to serve. So hard work is necessary, and then self-discipline is necessary. Proverbs emphasizes the hard work that happens even when no one is watching. And I know that because in verse 7, we read that that ant doesn't have a chief, an officer, or ruler, but is preparing her food in the summer and gathering her provision in the harvest. In other words, there's no one standing over that person, making sure they do what needs to be done. The ant is just working. A definition of integrity that I've always liked is that integrity is who you are when no one else is looking. Sure, it's easy for someone at work to do the work that needs to be done when the supervisor's right there. That's not very hard. You've got the motivation. What's hard is when no one else is there and you know the work needs to be done. That's when it's tough. It's tough to get up and to get out of bed and to start working when there's no one making you do that. I can remember growing up that one of the things that I think my dad enjoyed was on Saturday mornings when I was especially a teenager and sort of thought I should be able to sleep in till about lunch on Saturdays. He would get out if it was time to mow the grass, and we always mowed and weed eated on a Saturday. And my window was facing our front yard right by my bed. My bed, the headboard was right up against next to that window. He would take the weed eater and just go outside my window and just rev it and rev it and rev it until I finally got up and looked at him. And then he'd wave, and then I'd have to come out and mow the grass with him. And so even if I was tired or if I was sleeping in, I always had someone there to wake me up. And I can distinctly remember the first time I realized as an adult, you know, I have this yard at our house and someone's got to mow it. And no one's here to tell me to do it. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to be the one to be a self-starter. Maybe for you, it was the time that even though you had grown up with your parents getting you out of bed and taking you to church, that first morning you realized, you know, it's up to me if I get up and go to church. I'm the one who sets the alarm. I'm the one who's going to get the car and be able to make sure I've got transportation. I'm the one who's going to do all of those things. There's discipline there. It's easy to do the work when someone is watching and looking over my shoulder. It's more challenging and takes self-discipline to do the work when no one is watching. And that's the kind of life that Proverbs reminds us of. And notice, preparing food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Why does an ant do that? Why does anybody do what needs to be done in the summer when it's comfortable and when things are going on? Because winter is coming. Because an ant understands that importance of timing. I can still remember a teacher who once said that you would get as much out of school as you put into it. In other words, if you put in a lot, you can get a lot out. And that stuck with me from the time I was in junior high till now, because that's the principle of a lot of areas in life. And there's a way in which that's true spiritually. You know, if I really put the time in and put the effort in, if I spend time in God's Word, if I spend time studying His Word, I'm developing resources I'm developing a store of spiritual resources that when the winter comes and when the tough times hit and when I'm dealing with struggles and when I'm not sure where to turn, now I've got spiritual resources to draw on. If I hadn't been spending that time in God's Word, if I hadn't been talking to others about it, I wouldn't have those resources. But because I have, now I do have those. I'll get as much out as I put in. In fact, I'll get more out than I put in because God can multiply my efforts. But it starts with me actually doing the work. It starts with me actually reading the Word of God, internalizing it. And as we mature, we develop that self-discipline. As I mature as a Christian, hopefully, I don't have to make the decision every Sunday morning of what I'm going to do that day. I don't have to make the decision every day at work how I'm going to live. As I mature, hopefully I develop that self-discipline where I'm making that decision without even thinking of it. I'm drawing on the spiritual resources that are there. But that discipline is important. My spiritual growth will be affected by the work that I put into it. So what can we learn from an ant? We can learn the importance of hard work. As we've mentioned before, work is created by God. It existed before Adam and Eve sinned. It's not evil. Work isn't bad. And as we're reminded of here, we should be working hard. If I have an attitude where I'm looking for the easy way out and everything, I don't have the kind of attitude that Proverbs 6 is talking about. And that'll require self-discipline. It'll require me making the choice to do what's hard and challenging, even if I don't feel like doing it. You know, I've thought this week about the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus wanted to instruct people about anxiety and dealing with worry. And he said, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. Look at God's creation. God's creation has always provided lessons for us to learn, even lessons from unlikely places. Let's take some time this week to think about how we can grow in our work and in our self-discipline. It may be that there's something we can do to help you. Maybe you would like to become a child of God and start living a life that's working for Him. Or maybe there's been a breakdown in your life of discipline and you've done or said things that you know have not been right and you'd like to ask for forgiveness. Or maybe there are prayers that you'd like offered on your behalf. If you're a member at Graymere, please contact one of our elders. They would love to pray with you and to pray for you. And if you have any questions about anything related to Scripture, but especially about what we've studied together, please contact us at the church office. Let's all go through this week working hard for the Lord.